Welcome back to Become a Calm Mama. I'm your host, I'm Darlene Childress. I'm a life and parenting coach. And last week I did an episode about being on the same page, and we talked about how your co-parent may not be able to emotionally regulate. They might be explosive. And I gave you some strategies of how to handle that, or strategies around if your co-parent isn't open to emotionally coaching your kids and, approaching parenting from that feelings first model and behavior second model. And gave you some strategies of how to talk about that, how to like have conversations with your co-parent and just decide, like, are you on the same page? And so I really kind of want to revisit that for just a second before we get into how to handle it if your co-parent doesn't follow through on limits and consequences in the same way that you would do it, the way that you would handle it. Maybe they're more shameful, maybe they're more punitive, maybe they're more permissive than you, and you know, you're not sure how to handle that. So that's what this episode is all about. But before we get too deep into it, I just want to remind you that having a conversation with your co-parent about your parenting approach or your parenting style is really important. And going back to, you know, talking to them and just asking them, you know, hey, do we agree that feelings matter? Do we agree that we aren't going to use shame or fear or pain to manage our kids' misbehavior? And a lot of times I find that if you talk to someone about this, they will say, well, of course I don't want to use shame. Of course I don't want to use pain. Of course I don't want to use fear. Or they'll be like, oh, of course I think feelings matter. Or maybe they don't. But most of the time people will say, you know, your co-parent will say, yes, of course. And then you go, okay, so we are in agreement. And now let's talk about how we're going to approach what strategies we're going to use to parent our kids. So really important to have a conversation to figure out, are we on the same page in terms of our philosophy? And if we are, great. Then you have a foundation to have conversations about, you know, whether you live with your co-parent or not. Like if this is a divorce situation or where you don't live together anymore, you're not in a romantic partnership anymore, or maybe you never were, I don't know. But, you know, you're not together, but you still have kids together. So you are able to have the conversation with that other co-parent, regardless of whether you live together or not. Now, of course, if it's very toxic, if the person is abusive, if they manipulate things, like, you're not going to have these conversations with them. It's not important. You are doing your thing in your house and they're doing their thing in their house and they are separate. You don't get to control what goes on in their house and they don't get to control what goes on in your house. You are in different homes and different parenting philosophies, and that's okay. It's hard to let go, but it's okay. It's hard to worry and, you know, to like not worry about what's happening in the other house, but it is your job to manage your own fear and worry and frustration and control and let it go and trust, right? So a lot of things that I talked about in the last episode about you only need one parent to emotionally coach a human in order for them to grow up emotionally healthy and emotionally aware, that's all you can do, and that's all you need to do. And just trust that it's enough, because it is. I actually thought about this after I recorded the last episode, how you only need one person to teach you how to read. Like, you only need one person to teach you how to do math. Like, we have multiple teachers in our lives because of the way the school system is set up. But once you learn how to read, you know how to read. Like, once you learn how to add, you know how to add, right? It doesn't matter how many people taught you it. And that's the true thing with emotions. Once you understand what you're feeling and know how to talk about it and know what to do with those feelings, you're set. You know how to do it. So if you're the only person who teaches them that, that's plenty. Okay, so having that conversation, if you are in a fairly decent relationship with the other parent, having a conversation and be like, what are our values? What is our parenting approach? And kind of figuring out, like, are we on the same page at a foundational level? And so I want to give you some strategies to for if you decide you are. Okay, if you have a mutual commitment to calm and conscious parenting, to calm and connected parenting, then you can, like, I'm going to help you with that. Okay, and then I'm going to help you at the end of this episode if you realize that you don't have the same approach. Maybe they're more permissive or they're more authoritarian in that way. Then I'm going to give you some strategies of how to handle the limits and consequences if they do it differently from you. Spoiler alert, if they do it differently, that's okay. They can do it their way and you can do it your way and it's fine. And I'll give you some ways to handle that. But first, let's talk about if you are in a relationship and your co-parent is committed to the same type of parenting as you are, right? We're going to hold our kids accountable. We're going to be responsible, but in a calm, mutually respectful way. We're going to do a feelings first model. And, you know, we're going to work on our own emotional regulation. We're not going to lash out at our kids. We're not going to hurt our kids. We're not going to shame our kids. We are going to work on ourselves so we're calm. We're going to help them with their big feelings. We're going to give them tools and we're going to set boundaries and we're going to follow through on them. Okay. That's the calm mama process. If you're both committed, great. Now, what happens when either of you are off track or if you notice that your kids are off track? Okay. So if you are on the same page, right, and you see that your children or your child is like behaving badly, I want you to notice the pattern. That's kind of the first thing, whether you notice the pattern, you're like, hey, our kid keeps, you know, not finishing their dinner, or dinner's been a disaster lately, or bedtime's a big mess, or the kids are dilly-dallying every morning, or they don't clean up, they don't do their chores. It doesn't seem like they're brushing their teeth, whatever, okay? One of you will realize that there is a behavior. And from there, you start to talk about that behavior as a couple. And even if you're not a couple, like as two people, right? You're like, hey, I see this pattern. And in that conversation, it's really important to not get defensive, to not be like, well, I'm working on it. Or, you know, just realize you both agree, you both are committed to the same parenting philosophy. You're in it together. And now let's have a conversation about a behavior. So noticing a pattern, and then start talking about it as a couple. Hey, what do you think's going on? Why do you think they're acting this way? What's happening underneath? And you're doing that connection conversation together, even without your child there. You're like, why are they acting this way? Do they need more autonomy, like power? Do they need more appreciation? Do they need to be seen and validated? Do they need more affection? Like, do they need to be connected with us physically? Are they looking for time with us? Do they need to be accepted? Like, are they trying to express themselves, their uniqueness, their individuality? Or are they seeking safety? Are they feeling insecure? Do they want attachment? So those are the five emotional needs that we all have. And I did an episode on that a couple months ago. We'll link that in the show notes. So you're kind of just getting curious. You're like, what's happening with our kid? And a lot of times if you do that as a couple or as a with your co-parent, you might realize that this is more of an emotional issue, that your child maybe needs some skills around managing their feelings, or maybe they need to get that emotional need met some way. Maybe they need to get power in some other part of their lives. Maybe they need to be appreciated more. Maybe they need a little more connection, affection. They need a little more wrestling or hugs or whatever it is. Maybe they need to be told that they're good and worthy and lovely, loving and lovely. And, you know, they need to be appreciated. Or maybe they're feeling insecure and they need some more soothing and attachment. You need to do a little bit more connection with them. A lot of times, if you meet the emotional need of a behavior, you can kind of, the behavior lessens, it decreases, your child will become more compliant. Because remember, feelings drive behavior. So your child is maybe looking for some emotional need to be filled, you meet it, or you teach them how to meet it, and then they don't act out, okay? You can also start to look at what skill might be missing. Maybe they don't know how to be okay with disappointment. Maybe they don't know how to self-soothe. Maybe they're not being socially aware of how their behavior is affecting others. So then if that's the case, you might need to decide a rule or a limit in your family. Like, what's our rule for this? And then talk about it together. If you can see your child's behavior as a skill gap, like, oh, wow, they're really struggling with disappointment or being told no, so let's tell them no more often and let them work through the feelings of disappointment. Oh, maybe they, you know, need autonomy or power, so let's give them some power over their clothing choices or the books they read at bed or, you know, where they sit in the car, something like that. And then you know, set some boundaries around that. Like, you're welcome to have this level of power as long as you're compliant in this other area. So you can pick your seat in the car as long as you get in the car before, you know, as long as I don't have to remind you to put your socks and shoes on, something like that. So you kind of tether the things together so that your children learn this, you know, grow in the skill or in the, you know, value or the emotional regulation that you're trying to teach them while holding them accountable with a boundary or at the limit. So it can be really helpful, instead of seeing a behavior that your kids have and just arguing about it with your co-parent and blaming each other and being like, well, this is your fault because you're not doing this. And they're like, well, this is your fault because you're not following through on this. And it's just like, ugh. You just feel like you're arguing about your kid's behavior all the time. Instead, pause, try to figure out, what pattern is this? What's going on underneath? Is there a skill missing? And then what are our rules around it, or what limits are we going to set? Now, this can be challenging as a couple to figure out. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I want to do that and I don't know how to facilitate those kinds of conversations with my partner, that is a really good time to get a coach, to hire me, and we can do a few sessions together and work on it, right? So you can just reach out for a consultation with me and we'll work it out together. So it is important as a couple, if you already are committed and you keep having a conflict about a behavior and you're in a clash, to have this conversation. And then if you can't get over it, then reach out. Now, that's like a preventative or sort of a pattern. You're looking at it like, okay, we keep arguing about this behavior. Let's actually get on the same page about it and let's move forward. What happens when you're in the moment and your co-parent, who you know is committed to the same values as you, and they are like, kind of being like, you know what? If you don't listen to me, I'm not giving you TV for the week. Or they start yelling at your child, or that they, you know, they're in a parenting moment and they're in a power struggle and they're fighting with your kid, and you can see it happening. Like, you are so clear that this isn't going to go well and this is a disaster, and the co-parent is like making a mess of it, and you're like, probably wondering, okay, what am I supposed to do? Do I intervene or do I not? Do I back my co-parent up or do I not? So my recommendation, as long as the co-parent isn't being explosive or hurtful, don't get involved. Let it play out. Be that compassionate witness, noticing what's going on with your co-parent? What's going on with your kid? Where's the conflict about? What is it that the child really needs here? How could the co-parent soothe here? Without saying anything, you're almost like a coach in that moment, except you're not coaching. You're just watching. I think about like basketball, how, you know, the coach might be just watching a game and then later going back and saying, oh, okay, here's what my team needs to be doing to change this. I've never like been a sports coach or anything, but they always show how they watched the films back. Like, they look back at the previous game or games from last season and they learn from that. So I want you to be that neutral about it, as if it's like you're just watching and taking notes, but not to criticize your co-parent, just to be like, huh, their behavior isn't aligned with our values. Why? What's happening? And just being really like kind and compassionate in your heart, just like, whoa, they're in it. This is a shit show. And like, whoa, okay, I'm just gonna be a present witness here. Now, like I said last week, if you have this relationship, you could be like, do you need to tap out? You know, like, do you want me to take over? But I almost don't want you to do that. Like, if they're being explosive and hurtful, yes. But if it's just a parenting moment that's got away from them a little bit and they're trying to get some control back and they're kind of being like threatening or bribey or something like that, I just want you to watch, okay? And then later, when everybody's calm, kids are in bed, weekend, whatever, kids are watching TV or they're playing happily at the park, you say, hey, can we talk about what happened, you know, the other day, like at bedtime or that morning, like what happened? And if your co-parent is like, what? No, you know, they're defensive, it might not be the right time. So you can say, hey, I do want to revisit it because it didn't feel aligned. There was something off for me. But I want to talk to you about it, but I'm not trying to like criticize you or blame you or anything. I just kind of want to problem solve that or like troubleshoot it. So you're inviting them into a conversation, and then the kinds of questions that you ask to evaluate a situation is going back to the calm mama process. This is what I do. I'm like, okay, was I calm or were they calm? Like, was my partner calm? So I can just say to Kevin, like, were you upset? Like, what was going on for you? Were you like in your feelings, you know? And I'm not judging. I'm just kind of like, yeah, what was that like for you? What was going on for you? And then kind of go into connect. What was going on with the kid? Did we connect to their feelings? Did we narrate what was happening for them? Did we name any of those big feelings for them? And then going to limit set. Do we already have a limit around this? If not, like, what would you have wanted it to be? Should we set a rule? You know, is this a pattern? Is this something we want to fix? Like, would that help you if we kind of set up a limit? And then if they did follow through and they set a consequence, like they gave, you know, some sort of like, you're not having TV for a week, or I'm not giving you candy, or no more new toys, or you have to get rid of that toy, or whatever they've said, asking them like, so do you still agree with that? Like, was that impulsive, or do you think that aligns with our values? Do you think it's something we can actually follow through on? Like, if you're like gonna go to Disneyland or Six Flags or something, and then, you know, on a Saturday, and then on a Monday, they're like, if you keep doing that, we're not going to Six Flags. And then they keep doing it. And then your husband's like, we're not going. You can revisit during the week and be like, honey, are you sure that this is in alignment of what we want to do? How do we really not want to go? Can we recorrect? Can we course correct here and, you know, find a different way to set a limit and follow through on it for this behavior in the future? So you're kind of evaluating and just giving them a chance to reflect in a very loving and neutral way. So these two conversations are like getting on the same page and staying on the same page. So you have these preventative conversations, what are the behavior problems that are driving us crazy? So that's getting on the same page. And then staying on the same page is when one of you is not on track, isn't in alignment, isn't showing up with the same values. You let it play out and then you're like, hey, let's talk about that. That didn't feel right. That didn't go well. What do you think? Do you think it went well? I want to say Kevin and I have been parents for almost 20 years. And we have had a lot of these conversations, a lot of after the kids go to bed or on the weekends where we're like, what is going on with these people? And why is it not feeling good? And like, what's happening? And we kind of come up with some rules and some limits, and we use the limit setting formula. And then we're like, okay, so this is our plan. We get like a game plan. Like we literally sit together or stand or whatever and get on the same page. We make a plan. And then we stay on the same page by sometimes not being and recorrecting, course correcting. So I want to normalize it for you that not every moment with your co-parent is going to feel good. It's not going to always feel right. Like they're going to be off track. You're going to be off track. But it's the afterward or the like the pre-conversation or the post-conversations that really do that fine tuning and moving you as a couple or as a co-parent team towards your goals of raising kids who are emotionally healthy and personally responsible, right? That's our goal. So how are we going to get there? Emotionally healthy, personally responsible. Now, when you can't get on the same page, okay, what are you supposed to do? When you have a co-parent who's like, no, I'm not into it. I do not think that emotional health matters. It doesn't, it's stupid, right? Some people believe that. Like they don't, they just think it's kind of bullshit. And that's difficult, right? It is challenging if you're partnered with someone whose your values don't align with your kids, but maybe you really still dig each other like a ton, you know, and you are in a relationship and you can disagree, okay? It doesn't have to be the exact same approach. Each person is in an individual relationship with another person. So your co-parent has a relationship with their child and they are teaching their child how to be in the world and how to be in a relationship with them. And that's their prerogative. They're their parent. And, you know, as long as they're not like really physically hurting their child or really, really shaming or pain, you know, being in pain about that, then they get to do that. They can be strict and firm without emotional coaching. That's how most of us were raised. It's not great because we want to have a good relationship with both of our parents as adults, right? We want to have our kids grow up and like us. And I'm sure that your partner wants that too, but they may not realize. That's why it's good to have these conversations of like, what do you want your future relationship with our kid to look like? Because if you raise a kid in an authoritarian way, they end up feeling very emotionally disconnected from their parent. They feel like their parent doesn't really give a shit about them, even though their parent is very focused on the behavior and they want to see performance and success and they want their kid to like, quote unquote, be good. The child grows up feeling like my parent cares more about what I do, not who I am, cares more about what I say, not how I feel. And that means that long term, the child and that parent probably won't have a very connected relationship. And that's okay. That's the life that your co-parent is choosing to create with their child. Is there room for repair? Yes, always. You can always shift gears and parent your kids differently, even if they're grown. Some of you listening have kids who are in college or even out of college. And you're like, well, I was really too strict. I didn't do a lot of emotional coaching. And I have a lot of regrets about that. No problem. You can reset. You can start to connect emotionally, see your kid for who they are right now. That's fine. But while you're parenting, if you're in a relationship now and your kids are younger, whatever, and you see your co-parent showing up in ways that you wouldn't act, and doing things that you wouldn't do and saying things you wouldn't say, you can have a conversation about it. But also, I want you to just know that's on them. That's their course trajectory in that relationship. So it doesn't mean that your kid is messed up forever. You are going to emotionally coach them, and you're going to do what you're going to do, and, you know, set your boundaries and communicate your limits and teach your kids how to be in a relationship with you and give them all sorts of great, great teaching. So kids can grow up to be well-rounded and successful emotionally, physically, you know, financially, academically, all the ways that we want our kids to be successful, even if they have a parent that's harsh or really emotionally disconnected. Now, what do you actually do as the parent who's co-parenting along somebody who maybe is very punitive? If your co-parent is like, if you don't listen to mommy, you can't watch TV all week. Or since you hit your brother, that's it. You don't get to play, you know, soccer all week or whatever. If your co-parent comes up with a consequence that is like, if they come up with a consequence and they're the one who's going to follow through on it and they're the ones who are in charge of that part of their kid's life, great. Just let it be. That's what it's like. That's your kid's life. They're learning how to be in a relationship with their parent, and this is what it means, and this is what the consequences are. It's okay. But if that means, like, say you are the person who's taking them to soccer all week, or you're the person who typically lets them watch TV while you make dinner or whatever, and then your co-parent's like, no TV all week, and they create a consequence that then you have to follow up on, and you don't agree with the consequence, and it affects you, you can say no. You can say, listen, it is okay for you to set up consequences in this family, you know, for that you can follow through on. It's not okay for you to set consequences that then I have to follow through on. That doesn't work for me. I don't agree with this consequence. I don't agree with how you handled it, and I'm not going to follow up on it. So you can say you need to find a consequence that you can enforce when you're around. So this is, I hope I'm explaining it well, but imagine your co-parent is like, no sugar for the week. And then you're like, well, no, I have planned to make, you know, banana bread on Wednesday and take it to the park and give it to all the kids or whatever. And you're like, I'm not gonna, you know, follow through on their consequence. It can feel like you're lying or undermining, or you're not being honest if you just, you know, don't do it. So instead of just being passive aggressive about it, communicate. You need to go say to your partner, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm in charge on Wednesday and I'm not doing that. So you have to come up with a different consequence. So you're not telling them don't consequence our kids or don't follow through on your behavior, your limits or boundaries. Just don't involve me. Okay. I want you to feel strong enough to be like, no, I'm not doing that. It affects my rhythm. It affects my plan. It affects my routine. I didn't set this up. We did not talk about it. This is you. You need to find a different way to, you know, follow through on this. Now, some of you are like, I don't want to tell my partner that. They're going to get pissed. Yeah, that's part of being in a relationship with a peer, with an adult. If you're not going to agree on your approaches, if you're not going to agree on your philosophies, that means they're going to do their thing and you're going to do your thing. And they can do their thing. You're not telling them not to. You're just saying you need to make that happen when you're like in charge of them. The last thing we need is for a co-parent who's being harsh and punitive and not following the approach we're following, and then asking us to do the dirty work, so to speak. It just isn't going to feel good to you. It's not going to feel aligned. You're going to end up being passive and not following through on it because it's not going to feel good. And then you're going to be like, well, daddy said or mommy said that you can't have this, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. And now all of a sudden you're pushing, you're showing the children that you aren't aligned. I want you to privately be misaligned and make a plan privately, and then come to the kids and say, I know daddy said that about sugar, but he and I have agreed that you're going to do something different to make that right. Or that consequence, we're shifting that one. And it's going to happen, you know, this weekend with daddy, or it's going to happen this weekend with mommy. So you're still on the same page to the kids. You're like, no, we're aligned. We're just changing it a little bit and doing it slightly different than what we said we were going to do. But you're still going to, daddy's still following up. Mommy's still following up. So you are being really honest and talking about things and talking them through. It sounds like as I do this episode, I'm like, God, there's so many fucking conversations I'm telling you to have, which is annoying, but it's kind of what is required. It doesn't have to be 100 million conversations. Just when you have them, make them intentional. If you are sitting with something that doesn't feel right, think about it and then say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And then have a conversation that is focused on a specific topic. Like, instead of being like, well, that was rude. You were so rude. Don't talk to our kids like that. Those, you already have 100 conversations with your co-parent. I'd rather you have fewer but higher quality, more intentional. So you might need to go back and listen to this episode to really kind of break it down. I'll break it down for you now. But thinking about first, the conversation that has to take place is, what are our values as a parenting unit? Are we foundationally on the same page? Are we philosophically on the same page? Do we agree that our children's emotional life matters as much as how they act? So how they feel and how they act, do we care about both those things? Because this model that you've been learning by listening to this podcast is a both model. It's feelings first, behavior second. So we are following through on behavior, and we're setting boundaries, and we're letting our kids experience the impact of their behavior through consequences. So we are doing that, and we're emotionally coaching our kids. We're giving them language to talk about their emotions while also managing our own emotions. So you want to ask your co-parent, hey, do you align with these? And then when you are aligned, you are on the same page. If you find yourself misaligned, you can connect back. If you have this conversation and you find out that you are misaligned and that's how it is, you guys have different philosophies, that's okay. They get to set up boundaries and limits how they set them up. You get to set them up the way you set them up. But the decision or the agreement needs to be he or she follows up in their way and you follow up in your way. And each of you are taking responsibility for how you parent. So the takeaway here is your co-parent, they get to choose what they want their relationship with their child to look like. You can have conversations with them if they're open to it, but you don't get to control how they behave with your kid. You just don't. So you get to control how you behave with your kid. You can, if you're in a committed relationship and you both love each other and you want to talk about it, you can. You can hire me and I can help you get on the same page if you can't quite figure it out. But if you really realize, like, okay, we have different values here. They're not into the whole emotion thing. This is typically what I see. They're not into the whole emotional thing. Okay, fine. They can have boundaries, they can follow through, and they can do it when they're in charge, and you'll do it when you're in charge, in your way. And that just is an agreement you make. No matter what, you are responsible for how you set boundaries and how you follow through with them. You are responsible when you're with your child to emotionally coach them and help them understand their feelings and giving them tools to manage their emotions in healthy ways. These are your commitments. Your co-parent does not need to make the same commitments. So when you do your job, when you do the things that you've committed to, your kid benefits. You're always progressing forward in if you are keeping with your own values. Even if your co-parent doesn't parent the same way as you, you are moving your child closer to emotional health and personal responsibility without shame. Super cool, right? I hope that this gives you some strategies, but really, I hope you feel a little bit more freedom. Like, okay, they can do their thing. They can be harsh. They can be punitive. You know, they can say critical things. I'm going to emotionally coach my kids. I'm going to let my co-parent follow through on their consequences, and I'm going to leave it be. And trust that my kid's going to be okay. I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to have conversations, and then I'm going to let it play out. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard to parent alone. For those of you single parents who don't have a co-parent, you know, it's super challenging. It's exhausting. You don't have anyone to bounce ideas off with. You don't have anybody to like tap in and out with. It's hard. And it's really hard to co-parent because you don't have all the control. And that can be really overwhelming and frustrating. But you do have all of you, single parent, co-parent with someone on the same page, co-parent with someone on the same page. All of us have a lot of agency in how we parent our kids. So trust yourself, trust your kid, and keep going. All right. I hope you have a great week. And if you want any support from me, reach out, book a consultation, and we can talk about next steps and how to work together. All right. I hope you have a great week.